How are we? Good, good. It's been a great day so far, right? I just wanted to say thank you to Zach and Allison Hood for that masterpiece of video. Just loved hearing the different perspectives from all the different people of who Jesus is and what he means to them in their lives. Different backgrounds coming together around a table and to share a meal together, to share stories together of who Jesus is, Jesus being the bread of life. And I think there's such value and such impact that happens when you gather around a table, when you share a meal together. Turn in your Bibles to John 13. I wanted to read here a passage where Jesus gathers around a table with his followers and shares a meal with them. And something powerful happens during this time. In John 13, beginning in verse 1, it says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, now he showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You don't realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.' 'Well then, Lord,' Simon Peter replied, 'not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well.'" You gotta love Peter, right? "Jesus answered, 'A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him.' And that was why he said, 'Not everyone was clean.' When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to the place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." What a powerful example that Jesus showed his followers, his friends, how to love. You know, this summer our theme has been Indeed, and we've talked about giving, and we've talked about serving, we're talking about loving other people. And Jesus really does a great example, the ultimate example of loving his friends. Ultimately, he talks about, there it says, "And now he showed them the full extent of his love," or showed them love till the end. He knew what was about to take place, the ultimate sacrifice. He was preparing them for that. Now, his love was visible. Love's not just an emotion. We see love in action, and that's what Jesus did. He served them. He began to humble himself and wash their feet. In verse 15, it says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He's given them a perfect example to imitate his life, his heart for people, to show people love. And in verse 17, it says, now that you know these things, right? It's good to experience that and to know it, but it's not just about knowing it. We don't stop there. It says, you will be blessed when? If you do those things. Now that you've seen this display in front of you, you'll be blessed if you put those things into practice. Jesus showed his disciples that he loved them by putting love into practice, by living a life of love. You know, you think about 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us what love is all about. I would encourage you this week to study out 1 Corinthians 13, because I want us to put into practice this week what love's really about. And he put it into practice by serving them, by being patient with them. We get a little glimpse of his dynamic with Peter, right? I mean, just, it's a ragtag group of guys, but man, how patient he was with them. To forgive, he forgave them. When they fell asleep at one of his deepest and darkest times, the hardest times in his life, he forgave them. He was washing the feet of a man that was about to betray him, and he knew it. But he loved him anyway. He trusted them. He protected them. He loved them. It's interesting, his brother James, in James chapter 1, in verse 22, he kind of keeps up with this same theme and this same concept of putting things into practice. He says there, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. I want you to do what it says. Do what it says. You know, that really is the heart of who Jesus was. That was his message about putting things into practice. Imitating him by serving others. By living out his teachings. By living out his promises. By experiencing what that really feels like and what that looks like. Years ago, I don't know, I was trying to think back how far back it went. It probably was 8, 9... maybe 10 years ago, a group of us in the Gwinnett County area used to drive downtown Atlanta every Monday night and feed the homeless. And there was a ministry in this area called Meet the Need Ministry. Many of you might remember that ministry. The gentleman's name was Renee, and this kind of sounds like a girl's name, right? He was nothing like a girl. I mean, he's strong. He's a strong man in the sense of what he stood for. Renee and his wife Jane. We would go down every Monday night, and they would cook a meal. And in their garage, we would cook and prepare meals: fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, bread. I mean, it was the real deal. And we would go down, and we would serve until we ran out. Later on, I got connected with an organization called Safe House Outreach. We had a tornado hit Atlanta around spring break one year, actually around March Madness. And an area of town got hit pretty hard. And so I was trying to research and how we could serve our community. And I got connected with Safe House Outreach. And they're right downtown. and right off Cortland Street. And what they do is they provide homeless men and women with different services. They can come in and get different computer skills or different life skills. They even go as far as to help them and allow them to use Safe House Outreach's address, their physical address, as a place that they could get mail. For example, if they're needing to get a job, on your application, one of the first questions is your current residence. If you're someone that's homeless, you don't know where to put it. You don't have anything to put there. The odds of you getting a job are very slim. But Safe House Outreach allowed them to put 79 Ellis Street, I believe, is their address. So they could come there and get the help that they need to try to get on their feet again. And it was great being able to get to know those guys and to see what they do. And what happened from that is we started serving a meal once a month on Monday night. One Monday night a month, a group of us would go down and we'd make some crock pot meals and cornbread and dessert, and we would take it down and we would serve the men and women that were in need, children that were there. And it was really neat how we got paired up. It just so happened to work out that we were there the same night as this music group. They were called One Accord. And there's one of their songs that I still sing all the time. It talks about, when the year 2020 comes, we'll be singing this. It talks about my vision is 2020, keeping my eyes fixed on Him. And they would sing, and they would have a great time of worship, and then I would come up and share for about 10 minutes a message. And then we would serve the people. And we would sit around and talk with them and try to get to know them and know their names. It's putting things into practice. It does so much. I mean, it's experiencing what Jesus calls us to experience. There was a guy that was there who was a director who ended up starting his own nonprofit. His name is Drew Benton. He became a pretty good friend of mine. He actually came and spoke to our student ministry one time when we had an event called I Serve. It was kind of like a bash over the holidays, and we did a lot of service projects. He came up and shared here actually at our building. And his organization that he started was called Live Love. Live Love. And that's not his logo. That's just a logo I found off of Google. But I love their slogan. Their slogan is this: talk is cheap. Go do love.
Is there music in it?
No music. Talk is cheap. Go do love. That reminds you of a passage. It's kind of hard to see that maybe. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, or in action, and in truth. Let us not love with words or just with tongue, but in action, with our deeds, and in truth. It's one thing to say that we love people and that we're praying for them, but it's another thing to actually put it into practice. And that's what I want us to do. It's who I want us to be. I want us to be people that walk as Jesus walked, that love as Jesus loved. I was reading just different translations, and this stuck out to me, this same passage in 1 John 3. That's where this passage comes from. This is out of the Message, and I just want you to listen for a second. It says, "My dear children, let us not talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way that we'll know we're living truly, that we're living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism." I do too. I like that. "Even when there's something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts. And He knows more about us than we do ourselves. Let's not just talk about love. Let's practice. Let's put it into practice, real love." Because it's interesting. It says if you do that, what's going to happen? You're going to shut down the debilitating self-criticism. How many of us our tough critics on ourselves. We are our toughest critics, aren't we? But what's amazing about if you live love, what happens is your focus shifts. It shifts off of you, and it goes on to someone else. And doesn't it do amazing things of how happy you become? It's not about you anymore, and that's how God created us. That's how He wants us to live. That's how He designed us. That's His reality. He wants us to join in His reality show. Be a part of it. It takes the focus off of us. We become a lot happier. Because what you're doing is you're actually living into that calling that God had planned for you. So what are we going to do about it? This is the exciting part. This is the application piece that I want us to... I'm excited about what's going to happen this week. I want to give you a challenge. I want you to, this week, put love into practice. Figure out a way to... Talk's cheap. Go do love. What does that look like for you? I don't know. That's what's cool about it. We're all different. We all have different ways that we can go and love people. How can you show someone love this week? And there's some different ideas that we can have, and we can put some things on Facebook to kind of pump the brain a little bit and give you some. But you know, there are some areas. Go study out 1 Corinthians 13 and put some of those things into practice this week. Put some of those things into practice. I read I didn't read this book. I watched the movie. That's kind of how I roll a lot of times. The Shack. And I love this quote. Love always leaves a mark. Love always leaves a mark. I want us to go leave a mark somewhere this week. Go leave a mark. Impact someone's life this week. And what we're going to do next week is we're going to have a little bit of interactive church. We're going to gather together, and we're going to share stories of how you guys this week lived love. And I don't know how long or short it's going to be. I hope it's long, and I hope we have to cut you off because of the stories that we have shared and the things that we have experienced this week. There's power in putting God's word into practice. It's going to be a time of, I believe it's going to be a time of celebration. It's going to be a time of great victory where the focus is not on you anymore. You decided this week, I'm going to put myself on the shelf, and I'm going to go love. I'm going to go love someone. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Don, come on up. I've asked Don Hartford to come up for a second and kind of give you, I've asked him to share just from his perspective of how they've done this and how they've put this into practice. His family is really... put love into practice in a great way. And I'm going to allow him to share. We have a small little, 7-second video that we'll show here in a minute about things. But this kind of gives us, I think, will hopefully spark some ideas of things that we could do, things that we could put into practice this week. And I'll come back and close this out in just a second.
Does that work?
Yeah. Does this
scream.
Work?
I can scream if not. I can talk up. It's not working, is it?
They can work it back there. It's in the middle.
First off, I want to say a kind of a story I found funny. Josh and I talked last night, and first off, I didn't know what today was about. It's an honor to be asked to speak in such a day. But I told my son Garen that I'm going to be speaking, and he goes, "You're going to cry, aren't you?" Like I got called out by an 8-year-old. But I was sitting there thinking about it, and I never saw my father cry. I mean, I never did. So as I was sitting there listening to Josh, I said, that's actually progress. I'm actually glad he can see that. But this is a special thing. I mean, you know, to me, the Lemonade for Legos is a special, special thing, and we're going to do it again this year. We're going to shorten it up a little bit. But what's exciting to us is we set a new goal. Last year we set a goal and blew it out of the water. $3,725 was raised by a group of kids from 5 to 9, 10 years old buying Legos for 253 kids at the Children's Hospital. The day we got to deliver them, and we were the face of it, but it was many kids involved. It was just incredible. But to see the excitement, in fact, when we told the hospital we were coming, they brought a wagon out, and I said, no, hold on, there's like 320 kids, so bring more than a wagon. But anyhow, so it's grown, and this year we decided we can't set a goal higher than $3,700. That was an epic number. So let's set the goal at 350 kids. And whether it's 250 kids get a kit of Legos and 100 kids participate, or 250 kids raise $5 a piece and give it to 100 kids, let's get 350 kids touched. If a kid raises $5, if a kid does chores for mom and dad for $5 to raise for Legos, they've started to understand the giving spirit. So you don't have to touch a kid by giving him the Legos. You can touch a kid on both sides. So this year's goal is 350 children at any level of effort, because I don't believe a 5 or 6-year-old, in fact, I'll tell you, my son doesn't know the difference between raising $100 and $37.25. It's amazing to see. So I'm asking any parent with a child, you know, participate, you know, give them a chore at home. I have a sign-up sheet. We're only going to do Lemonade for Legos for 2 weeks here, 2 Sundays, but we have a sign-up sheet where if they want to sign up, do one at home. We have the cool lemonade stand. I will deliver it. You don't need a lemonade stand. It can be anything. We have a family in California that's doing it. We have one in England, a friend of mine in England that has two of his kids doing it. We have friends in Michigan, South Carolina, which you'll see the 7-second video, and Florida. So it's spreading, and it's spreading. And I don't anticipate any of them to send more than $20 or $30, but they're going to touch 5-10 kids in this state, 5-10 kids in that state, and that's really kind of that's where we want to take this thing and see where it can go. So we would love it if you have a child that wants to participate to sign up, but it goes beyond goes beyond this. Any way we can help. We're setting up stands at Kroger's and Publix, near our house. But, find a spot to put a stand. We'll deliver the stand, and let's grow this thing. But I want to show a video because this touches me. Is it? I don't know. It's hard to hear.
Do you like it? Do you like it? Yeah. Can you say thank you, Garen? Say thank you.
Thank you, Garen.
Thank you,
Karen. Here's where the tears come. His name is Mason Fain. He's had 3 heart surgeries. He's 5 years old. He's been in the hospital more than most of us will be in our life. Him and his brother are doing a stand this year. He wants to do a stand with his older brother, and they're going to raise money for Lemonade for Lego so he, Mason Fain, can pass it out to other people. It's growing. This is what it's... Mason Fain is what it's all about. This is a child that receives it and wants to do something more with his older brother. This is exciting. So I invite everybody to participate, and I look forward to this being a good year. So thank you. Thank you.
So that's something that their family decided, we're going to purchase Lego kits and deliver them to children that are in hospitals. And it's grown to where it's global. They've gone global. The opportunities are endless for us. And that's just one example. That's something that was on their heart. But that's what it's about. That's living a life of love. That's putting God's teachings into practice. And really, the opportunities are endless for us. I'm excited to see what God's going to do through you guys this week as we put love into practice. Let's go and let's live love, and I want you to go leave a mark this week. Amen. Amen.